Some of the most celebrated names in science and technology are today remembering a giant in the fields. Marvin Minsky was one of the fathers of artificial intelligence. He died over the weekend at the age of 88. He co-founded the MIT Artificial Intelligence Laboratory. He designed the first visual scanners and other tools that shaped the world of robotics. And he was a provocative professor.
There was nothing to stop the chimpanzees from reaching human levels. And there'll be nothing to stop our machines from reaching human levels and further unless we stop them. And in fact, we better be very careful in the transitional stages because it's not clear whose interest they have at heart.
That's from an interview that Minsky did with one of his many mentees, Ray Kurzweil. Those who knew Marvin Minsky best are today citing more than his accomplishments, but also his character as a magnificent thinker, sometimes paternal professor, and irascible interlocutor. And one other thing about the lay professor, on top of all those things Marvin Minsky did, he played piano.
I'm Michael Hawley, and I was one of Marvin's graduate students and later became a professor at the MIT Media Lab. I sometimes think of Marvin as picking up where Alan Turing and Sigmund Freud left off. You know, on the one hand, there's the mechanical stuff and on the computational bits, if you will. And on the other hand, there's the psychology and the apparatus of higher thought and about which almost nobody has a handle. So Marvin was always kind of launching off from there. When it came time for me to move to Boston, I had to load up my Honda Civic and drive it across the country from California. Partway, I called Marvin to let him know I was en route, and he said, have you got a place to stay? And I said, well, not yet. And he said, let me just check with Gloria, and came back on the line and said, it'd be fine if you just moved into the attic. And I said, oh, okay. So I arrived at their little mansion in Brookline, went into the attic, and I couldn't believe it. Suddenly I was moving into my advisor's attic, and I felt like I was instantly adopted. And looking back on those years, I can see that Marvin and Gloria, you know, they sort of treated the students like they were their children, and they treated their children like they were their students, for that matter. Everybody was on a first-name basis. Marvin was a person who loved ideas, and he cherished the people who came up with ideas. And I think part of his, I wouldn't call it a Socratic mode, it's sort of the Minskyan mode of interacting with students, was around Chinese food, and nutty ideas would go popping out of the frontal lobe, and a student would kind of pick one up and run with it. And sometimes it went somewhere, and sometimes it didn't. And Marvin knew that that's what being a student was all about, because he was sort of forever a student.
I'm Todd Macover, and I'm a composer and Muriel Cooper Professor of Music and Media at the MIT Media Lab. I met Marvin first, I think, when I was a composition student at Juilliard in New York, and I heard that there was this amazing person at MIT thinking about music from a very unusual perspective, from a perspective of how a machine could understand music and reproduce music. One thing is that Marvin had a lifelong love for music. He grew up as a pianist and was a fantastic improviser. He always used to say that the world was split into two kinds of people, composers and improvisers. Marvin was the ultimate improviser. He would always give a talk without any notes, and but he improvised at the keyboard very, very well. And he spent his life thinking about music and thinking about why music matters so much to human beings. And he had a personal interest in this, but he also saw music as one of the mysterious central elements to being a human.
I'm Patrick Winston. Marvin Minsky was my teacher, my mentor, and eventually my colleague and friend. Coming to the Artificial Intelligence Lab in the late 60s, it was a wonderful place. It was full of very bright, intelligent people with great mission. It was a scary place, too, and at first I was afraid to disagree with Marvin, thinking that if I ever disagreed with him and saw something in a different light, it must be because I was looking at it in the wrong light. But eventually I realized that if we had a disagreement and we changed sides, he would still crush me. He was that smart. Marvin had a short attention span, and often When I tried to explain ideas to him, he would guess what the idea was, and often his guess was better than the idea I was actually trying to explain. He was also amazing at anticipating jokes. We were once talking about whether artificial intelligence was dangerous, and I said, "Well, Marvin, if we ever get to the point where we have really intelligent machines, we should do a lot of simulation to make sure the machines aren't dangerous before we turn them loose in our world." "Oh, yes," he said, anticipating my joke. "And we're the simulation." And he said, "Yes, and it doesn't look like it's going very well."
What are you going to miss about him?
What do I miss about him? I miss his genius, his clever way of thinking about things, his insightful thoughts, his quick wit. He was an interesting, funny, fun, and especially inspiring person to be around.
Remembrances of the late MIT professor Marvin Minsky. He died Sunday in Boston at the age of 88. We heard from Michael Hawley, Todd Macover, and Patrick Winston improvising that fugue on the piano, Marvin Minsky.